Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette Digital Edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Pin and Combination Podcast, College Edition. I'm KJ Pilcher with the Gazette, alongside my colleague, wrestling guru Dick Briggs. You wear a lot of hats when it comes to wrestling. Wrestler, coach, official, media member. What's been your favorite hat to wear?
Well, that's easy. I mean, I was a dad, so
no.
For that,
got that one.
For the dad, and it was easy because I had a son that was very into it and made it easy in that end of it. And his teammates were around him, were real fun to be around as well. So that was probably the favorite, you know. And then of course you, when you're out there yourself and you have full control, that was fun. But that was so long ago; it's hard to remember. So.
Well, we appreciate all that you've done over the years. And, of course, we got a lot to get into this week. Iowa State keeps rolling. We'll talk a little bit about their performance out at Vegas. You and I, really impressive this weekend in Illinois, Southern Illinois, Edwardsville. Iowa sent some guys up to Wisconsin Parkside for an open up there. The Iowa women hosted Oklahoma State and Colorado Mesa for a fun double duel on Sunday. We'll also talk a little D2, D3 action. We'll have another blind ranking this week, which is kind of fun. We'll also look ahead at what's coming on for those D1 schools, and we'll break down kind of the D2, D3 weekends before and coming up. So we'll jump right into it. Let's start with Iowa State this week. Probably because they had the most notable performance going out to the Cliff Keen Las Vegas Invitational there, winning their second team title in 3 years out in Vegas, four champs, I believe. Things are rolling for Iowa State right now, aren't they?
Oh, they're in a great spot. Holy cow. And they didn't just win Cliff Keen. They almost doubled the score of the second place team, which was, I believe, was it Stanford? Let's see. Michigan, wasn't it?
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. And so I think, well, I actually the score. Iowa State had 183.5 and Michigan had 99. So,
yeah.
Geez, that's, I mean, they romped.
That's crazy. I know there weren't some of the usual – like Oklahoma State wasn't out there, Ohio State wasn't out there, probably because of National Duels Invitational, but that's still probably the top individual tournament here in the regular season, this first half of the year, before you get into, like, the Midlands and the Scuffle and stuff. But that's – boy, for them to come off the high of winning their first Cy-Hawk Series duel and – 20 years, and they can, you know, sometimes you'll have that emotional dip. You know, they didn't really have that. They had 9 place winners. You know, as we mentioned, the 4 champs, but there was no emotional letdown after that big win over Iowa.
No, and you know, it's still a 30-team tournament. Another one that was not there was Northern Iowa, who's usually there. They took second last year behind Okie State. And, you know, those – you're right, though. Didn't dawn on me that those teams were members of that National Dual Tournament. So that makes total sense that they wouldn't be there. You know, Iowa State did romp. I was happy to see Evan Frost, who's really on a roll. This is his third – trip to the finals in his first championship. He was second, and first and last three times there. So it's good for Frost at 133, Evan Frost.
Yep.
And I think Jacob was in the lineup as well for the first time this year. So,
yep, coming over, coming off being sick the week before. You know, he placed pretty well. you know, Frost, you mentioned Frost at 133 winning. Anthony Etchemendia continues to be dominant. He won at 141. Rocky Elam and then Younger Bastida, both with significant wins in the finals there. I believe over All-Americans or ranked individuals from Wyoming in the finals. Rocky Elam, and Bastida, they used to be they used to go head to head. Now they're shoulder to shoulder, right? Change in dynamic as far as those two going from battling each other and now making each other better.
Right. So Rocky Elam has a couple of top 10 wins already this year. And then Bastida, I think Bastida wrestled Christian Carroll, didn't he, in the finals?
Yes. Who's at Wyoming now.
Christian Carroll was at Iowa State, right, last year. And just it seemed like he didn't. I think it sounded like he's homesick. And so, or I don't know, who knows what happened, but he left the team in midseason, I think even before Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting. It was 5-3 match. So that Christian Carroll, he's something pretty good. He's doing wrestling that close with Bastida.
You know, touching on Carroll a little bit, how many times have you seen somebody that just needed a change?
Yeah.
Whether it's a change of location, a change of weight, whatever it might be, you just see a difference, and maybe that's what Carroll needs. Obviously, he did really well for Wyoming this weekend and gave Bastida a good match. So maybe it's a good turnaround for Carroll being at Wyoming.
I think so too, and you're right. That happens more often than not, and I respect that. If it's just not working out, then make that change. And a lot of people are making changes for reasons I don't necessarily agree with these days.
With NIL
money and there's communications that's happening that aren't supposed to be happening, legality wise. So I respect a kid that's, if he's struggling or whatever, whatever athlete it might be, make that change if that's the case. So, good for him. I'll wish him the best for sure. Now, here's a little twist. I don't know if you caught this, KJ, with Evan Frost. Right? I'm going to see if I remember this right. Evan Frost received a medical forfeit in the finals against the number two ranked Caleb Larkin. There's two Larkins. Kyler Larkin.
Kyler Larkin.
And he may not be number two ranked, but he's high-ranked wrestler
from Arizona State.
He received a forfeit from Larkin, and then at 149, when it came to the fourth and fifth place, or the whatever match it was, third and fourth place, or what that Jacob Frost was in, so he forfeited back to the other Larkin. His two brothers, the one forfeited to the other, and then I don't know.
Yeah.
Gamesmanship going on there or what could, was going
could,
on
but could I, be I a little bit could be a little bit I didn't see Larkin's previous Caleb Larkin's previous match that dropped him into the loser's bracket if he medically forfeited the one before that or if it was a reaction to the previous one. Or I guess it was the other way around, right? Jacob Frost medically forfeited to Larkin. I guess that takes what I said out. That is a little – might have been some gamesmanship there as well.
Yeah, so I have no idea. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're injured. I mean, it's a battle. It really is. But in the championship round, I think there were two forfeits. Of the 10 matches, one at 33, and then I don't remember where the other one was.
157, actually. Vinny Zerbon medically forfeited the Ty Waters of West Virginia.
Right. So you hate to see that in the finals. You want to see those matches. That's what you come for, the fans. paid the money for. And, you know, and I get it, people are injured, but if you're doing a protection job, doggone it, don't do that, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because Zerbon had just beaten Cardenas of Stanford in the semifinal 7-4. So, you know, he's coming off that big semifinal win. Don't know what might have taken place or whatever and led to the medical forfeit. You hope it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the Big 12 stuff since West Virginia is in their conference. And that's where Waters wrestles for. But, you know, just kind of anticlimactic ending for a good tournament for Zerbon, who, you know, beat a ranked kid from Harvard, beat Cardenas, and then would have had a shot at the number one guy from West Virginia in the finals.
Yeah, that would have been fun. And Waters is ranked number one, like you said. And you're right. I think that's maybe part of the decision making. If Zerbon's not, if he got dinged up or just even a little bit, they're probably going to see each other in a duel and in the Big 12 championship. So they'll definitely meet each other down the road. So, but still, you're disappointed if you're sitting in the stands hoping that match happens.
Yeah, you know, one of the other performances, not one of the top ones, but I think a notable one, Aiden Riggins at 165 getting fourth. Connor Uten, I think, got hurt during the Iowa duel, but you've got depth where your number two guy steps in and gets fourth at a big tournament like that. I think that's kind of a good sign for Iowa State. Not only do they have a strong, balanced lineup, but they've also got some depth there in case you run into some snags or some issues during the season.
Right. And you see, you know, we see that at 149 with Frost and
Johnson.
And yeah, Panero Johnson, right. And so lots of depth in that, in those middleweights for sure. And I don't know that Riggins, you know, that I don't know that that's that, you know, 165. Maybe not even at 49 either. So there may be some wrestle offs or some opportunities for wrestlers to earn that with, you know, throughout competition, earn that varsity spot.
Very much so. Iowa State's off until January 21st when they head to the collegiate duels down in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's see, they'll face Ohio State. That's a big one here in a couple weeks for them. And then I think Lehigh is the other school that they'll face down there on the 21st of the month. But right now, Ohio State's 2, Iowa State's 3 in the latest NWCA rankings. Penn State's number 1 for like the 74th straight week, I think it said in Jason Bryant's release. And then Iowa at number 4, UNI 15th. And that's a good transition to point out. You and I had a nice weekend at the Cougar Clash hosted by Southern Illinois Edwardsville. Three champs. I believe Wyatt Volker, Ryder Downey, and who is the third champ there?
Corey Land.
Corey Land at one, was it 33 or 41?
33.
Okay, so he's down at 33. Wrestled really well.
Right, and this was, I think you said this was an add-on tournament or a filler tournament since they missed that earlier tournament out east?
I think so. I think that since they missed the collegiate duels, I think this got added. Might have been on their, might have been their destination for some JV guys. I know they sent some up to the Jim Cook Open that we'll talk about a little bit here in a second from the Iowa standpoint. But I think that this got added to replace that collegiate duels in November that they weren't able to travel to.
Yeah, and that's nice to be able to do that. And they did. They were first, 190 points, and they were second place was Oklahoma State. I don't believe it was Oklahoma State's number one team, but it was a real, real strong group of wrestlers there. They were at 187. Illinois was there, 157. Missouri was there, 135 and fourth. And I think there are eight teams total, but three champs and And interesting, Ryder Downey and Wyatt Volker both beat number eighth ranked wrestlers to win that title. So, Downey beat Scholes from Illinois 11-2, major team. And then Volker beat Luffman from Illinois 8-5. So nice wins by those wrestlers.
Yeah, you know, and especially with Volker making that move up to heavyweight, I think that's a significant win for him to put up a couple takedowns and win 8-5 against Luffman, who's an established heavyweight. That's pretty impressive. And, you know, Downey, I don't think a lot's been really talked about how he's moved up as well. No, he's probably – he was probably cutting a lot to get to 157 last season, but you know, he's made that transition and he was dominant, three major decisions this last weekend. So, you know, big on his part. And one other performance of note that I thought was pretty interesting. And of course I had a mistake. I got to say this, in my wrestling weekend, that was, I had Corey Land listed at 133. He's at 41. Julian Farber placed fourth at 133 for you and I. But the performance that really, maybe turned some heads, Garrett Rinkin, the Nashville Plainfield, the former Nashville Plainfield prep, got second at 133. He beat two Oklahoma State wrestlers, lost to Ronnie Ramirez in the finals. Ramirez ranked 13 in one of the national polls. Rinkin beat, was it 2024 NCAA champion Richie Figueroa, 10-9. Remember, Figueroa beat Drake Ayala in the finals. And he's ranked number 20, and him and Ramirez must be battling for a spot there. And then he also beat Marcel Lopez. If you remember, Lopez was a four-time state champ at New London, who now wrestles at SIU Edwardsville. So Garrett Rinkin with a really impressive showing at the Cougar Clash.
Wow, that's a deep weight. Jeez, 133. So, you know, with all those guys in there. So, yeah, nice that I saw that as well. Nice job for Rankin.
You know, Corey Land is somebody that really intrigues me. He's somebody that they were really, really high on. I know they were expecting him maybe to make an impact last year, and then he got hurt, and they lost his services, and now he's back. Stepping in, you know, where Carol Happel was for 4 years. Is he a wild card for this team? Is he somebody that can make a lot of noise by the time March comes around?
I think so, and I'm not sure it's necessarily a wild card. I think he is starting to maybe wrestle to his expectations, like you said. And, you know, those kind of guys have it in their mind that, you know, it's not an upset. It's, you know, what do you mean upset? They'll get mad at you for here. And that's the motivation that, you know, that keeps those guys rolling. So, you know, we saw that at Iowa State. Who was it that pulled the upset in the dual? Iowa duel and said, what do you mean? I was mad.
Gaetan.
Talked to some guy in the Casey's that said, good luck. Yeah, Gaetan, right. Yeah. So, you know, that motivates those wrestlers. So, anyway, so I think I don't know Land at all. But I'm guessing that's, you know, the kind of guy he is, that he's finally wrestling up to the expectations, and not only just the coaches and the fans, but his own expectations. So one other note here, I found this interesting, KJ. I'm kind of going off on a little tangent here, but the eighth place team out of eight at this tournament was Little Rock.
Arkansas,
Little Rock. Right. So, is that an example of, and they scored 35.5 points. Is that an example of the NIL cannibalism that happens? Because, you know, they have two Americans right on their team, and now they're on Iowa's team. Did Iowa gobble them up, and with that NIL? And now here's Little Rock, who I'm sure probably doesn't have any NIL. And Bateman, I'm not even sure if they have their full number of scholarships. And, you know, they create a couple All-Americans and they get gobbled up in. So I just, it's right. Kind of a sad note there. Sorry.
No, I agree fully. I mean, it's hard not to take a look at that right now with the way things are. And the difference that those two people could make for a program like Little Rock is huge. And we're in a state now where the haves are able to, you know, with their extra resources, you know, they're just, the rich are going to get richer and the poor are going to get poorer, and there's no end in sight.
And the scary part is with those teams like Little Rock that created those All-Americans and did such a good job of coaching and achieving that level and that status, it goes away. You know, does the administration look at that and go, well, we can't sustain a program if that's going to happen, sort of thing. We're not in a developmental program, so to speak. So are those types of programs going to go away, and is it going to hurt wrestling and other sports as well?
Yeah. You know, and I think a little bit too, and I think of you and I, softball, they've had some absolute studs. Maya Dodge comes to mind, Alex Papillo, who have been outstanding and have played a year or two at you and I and really grown. And then they end up going to Missouri and they end up going to Alabama once they're really established and ready to make that next jump. And, programs like that just kind of, well, you know, there's not much we can do. We just keep doing what we're doing and we'll keep building the next one that comes through, and they kind of know that they might be a feeder to some other programs with if people develop so far. I mean, it's kind of sad. And you know that with wrestling. I mean, you know, the Iowas, the Oklahoma States, the Penn States are just gonna keep reaping the rewards of NIL.
Right. And if I'm a head coach, say I'm a head coach of sport, whatever, and I become the new head coach. So my first hire, let's say it's football. So I've got, I don't know how many coaches, 10, 12, 15, however many coaches are on staff. So my first hire, am I going to hire a coach that's a good technician and good type of coach there? Or am I going to hire the guy that is the scout that can look across the nation and become the guy that's looking for NIL athletes or maybe good athletes and enticing them into the NIL? And you got to know that that's happening. But, you know, with some conferences or whatever certifications that shouldn't. Anyway, so my point is that, so if I'm a head coach, I'm looking for that guy that can bring great athletes into the school, and then I'll maybe look for the coach that can coach them. You know what I'm saying? It's just a whole different priority. And you see coaches that are leaving their sports and leaving the business. We saw that it was the Kansas State, Keelman. Am I saying?
Yep.
Kleiman. Recently retired. Kleiman, yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to see more of that. I mean, there's obviously others, but it's just sad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent.
Oh, that's okay. And I also point out, too, that, you know, Iowa State, look with Iowa State and Northern Colorado. You know, Steve-O Pauline at 125 and Vinny Zerbon at 157, two All-Americans there that have made a big impact for Iowa State, too. So, yeah, there's a few programs that are kind of dealing with that right now. Makes you appreciate the Parker Kekizens of the world that stay true to their those other programs when they could have chased other opportunities and maybe cash.
Right. Anyway, so I'm sorry to get on that tangent, but it's hard not to. I mean, that's where we're at. And that actually, KJ, maybe I'm a little early on this, but remember that thought when we get to the teeing off of Briggs.
Okay. All right. So we'll just mention that you and I, they have a couple duels coming up. They host Missouri on Sunday at the McLeod Center. That's number 14 versus number 15. So that should be a good one there on Sunday, starting, I believe, at 1 p.m. Some of the Panthers were up at the Jim Cook Open, where Iowa sent some wrestlers, not their full lineup, but they had a few individuals up there, and four of them ended up winning titles. 125, Keon Hernandez got first. Cale Peterson at 141, also first place. Harvey Luddington at 197 won a title for Iowa. But the one that really stands out, Gabe Arnold at 184. You know, he's somebody that, you know, that's a national qualifier going to an open tournament. You almost kind of wonder a little bit if this is maybe penance for like the summer. Not a punishment, but just, you know, there was a thought of him leaving and then he ended up staying before, you know, and depending on who you ask, some say he was going to leave. Some say he was dismissed. I think the verbiage is kind of cloudy on what exactly transpired, but we've seen him really be kind of a team player a little bit. You know, maybe he's just not getting down to 174 yet, but he's doing all the right things right now, and going to the Jim Cook Open and coming away with a title shows that he's dialed in, I would say.
Yep, and you know, we got to know him a little bit as a prep.
Yep,
and it seems like a great, doing all the right things, and someone that we really pull for, and you know, we don't know what's going on in the practice room or anything like that, but you know, they're certainly putting him on the mat and trying to develop him, and good for him. So, KJ, I don't know if you caught this, but Iowa's next competition is in Hannibal, Missouri. They'll wrestle on Friday. They'll wrestle University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And there's an Iowa connection. Did you know that with Chattanooga?
Head coach? No, I'm oblivious to it. Rochelle?
Comes all the way to their county. So we interviewed this person last year. We had him on our show. So the head coach, Kyle Rochelle, is the son-in-law of Tim Johnson.
Oh, okay. All right.
There you go. And then Iowa wrestles after Chattanooga. They'll wrestle Utah Valley at 8:30 p.m. So I imagine there'll be some Iowa fans that'll travel down to Hannibal to see that.
Oh, I bet. We had Iowa wrestling media availability yesterday on Tuesday. Kind of interesting. You know, you got the normal rhetoric of, hey, it's important because it's the next date, you know, that kind of stuff. But also, Tom Brands kind of mentioned that, hey, this is a chance to solidify the lineup. You know, to get an answer to some questions of who wants a spot. Now, the interesting thing about that is there's only two weight classes that are either or. One of them is heavyweight with Ben Keeter and Easton Fleshman, and I think that's pretty set. That's Keeter's weight. But the only other one is 157 with Jordan Williams and Victor Voinovich III, both listed in the probable lineup. So I think you can connect the dots that this might be an opportunity for each guy to have a chance to emerge as a front runner, and that's the one weight that, you know, they're looking for an answer and looking for somebody to really step up to solidify that lineup for Iowa.
Right. And I would agree that neither one has so far yet. We know what happened with Williams in the in the Iowa State duel. And then Voinovich had a couple of opportunities early on, and I don't know that he really stood out. So you're right. They're looking – I mean, the coaches are giving either one of them, I think, opportunities right now. So we'll see who you know, grabs on and starts to run with it.
So that is Friday. Like you mentioned, Hannibal, Missouri. Journeyman Wrestling's Uncivil War. Journeyman Wrestling's this is like the second year they've done it. I think Iowa went down and wrestled Army in Princeton last year. So the second year for that. Chattanooga's 3-1 right now. Utah Valley's 2-1. That'll be Iowa's last competition before the Soldier Salute the first weekend in January. So pretty long break in competition between this and Iowa's next opportunity to get on the mat. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yep. So
we're indifferent.
I think it's good. It's a long season. So I think it's all right to see a break there. You know, and they'll still be competing, not competing. They'll be practicing and doing that sort of thing. But I mean, it's almost a 5-month season, right? Kind of October to March or November to March.
Almost six.
Yeah, almost six. So, yeah. So I break is fine. It gets long. I mean, those guys are not just wrestlers; they're college students, and of course, the weight. You know, maintaining the weight is always tough on the body and mind.
Before we touch on D2 and D3 wrestling, really quick, do you want to mention Iowa wrestled Oklahoma State and Colorado Mesa, won two duels on the women's side on Sunday. If you get a chance, go watch the suplex that Kennedy Blades hit against Oklahoma State. One of those wow moves. You know, very impressive, but Iowa wrestled really well. It's good to see Oklahoma State. It's just a club right now, but you know, that's going to be a team on the horizon. Of course, their club beat Colorado Mesa, which is ranked fifth, a very good women's program. So some fun things transpired there Sunday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. But you have some topics to touch on here.
Yeah.
Ready for teeing it up with Briggsy.
Right. So just one comment on that souple. I call it a souple. The souple was – Her back arch is incredible. I mean, it's like it's just told to see her do that. It's such a wow moment. So okay.
It's a poster like arch.
Right. Tina, you know? Briggs. That's a good description. Okay, so we've been discussing and dreading the ramifications of the NIL and the transfer portal for a few years now in the Penny Combination. So this week, another major issue in college sports raised its ugly head, and that is the three universities have declined invitations to play in bowl games, in football bowl games, Notre Dame, Iowa State, and Kansas State. And I know that the two, Iowa State and Kansas State, were fined $500,000 by the Big 12. And as I understand it, all of the pool money, the bowl money, goes into one pool and then gets divvied up between the schools. Am I correct there? So
I think so.
If that's the case, I think those two schools should be eliminated from that money. Otherwise, it's like you get fined $500,000, but here's $500,000. You're part of the pool for Big 12s, you know, whatever, you know, so whatever. You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah. No, so that makes sense.
They should not only should be $500,000, but also be denied that money.
Sure.
That's just my thought. I feel bad for the non-NIL athletes, the non-scholarship athletes, the band members, the cheerleaders, the student body and faculty, the bowl organizers and advertisers, the boosters, the alumni, the ISU fans, and many, many more that I'm probably missing that would have loved to have seen Iowa State in a pretty decent football bowl game, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, and so finally, with Notre Dame, honestly, it just looks childish on your part. You know, it's like, we're not in the playoffs. We're not going to play yet. You know, so
yeah, take their ball and go home.
Yeah, that's me teeing it off and I'm done. I'll watch my bowl games and enjoy them.
Do you have a blind ranking?
Okay, let's have some fun.
I'm ready to be put on the hot seat for this.
So I do. All right. Well, no wrong answer, KJ, and it's going to be it's a fun one. So rank these top five holiday movies, without knowing what's coming next. Okay.
All right.
So number one, and you get 1 through 5 for those that are watching. So the first movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm going to put it at 4. Angel gets its wings.
Number 4. Okay. The angel just got its wings. All right. Next one. Elf.
Oh, man. I just don't know what you have coming up here. Because I like the silliness ones. There are two that are really my favorite that you haven't mentioned yet. You know what? People are going to make fun of me. I'm going to put it at 5.
5 it is. Okay.
I'm put it at 5.
Remember I said holiday movies, so you might not have seen this one coming at you. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you threw a Thanksgiving one. I'll have to put that at number 3 then.
Okay. And Die Hard.
Oh, that's not a holiday. Sorry. I'm on the It's Not a Christmas Movie bandwagon on that one. So that's got to go number 2. Can't put that at 1. So I'm stuck at number 1 with this last one.
Number 2 it is. All right. Here we go, AJ.
A Christmas Story is number 1. That is my number 1 of all time. And interestingly enough, when the NCAA championships were at Cleveland, the day after the NCAAs, my wife and daughters and I went to the Christmas Story house and museum that they have right outside of Cleveland. Since that was shot, even though it's set in Terre Haute, Indiana, we went and visited that when we were at the NCAAs.
Now, I have to ask, are you the owner of a leg lamp?
Not a full-size leg lamp, but we have a couple miniature. We have an ornament, and we have a little small thing that we have on our entertainment center awesome. That we put out for Christmas. So we have miniature ones, but not a real leg lamp.
Very good. All right.
So, you want to hear a funny thing about the Christmas story?
Upper Iowa. It was at the BV Open, and I've been to the BV Open. There's a lot of wrestlers there, and kind of every year is a little different as to what kind of teams are going to be there. So, Upper Iowa was there this year and really dominated. The Upper Iowa team looks like they're pretty solid this year. They had 5 champions. Cale Bridgewater, who we know from North Lynn, and Owen Denstead, who was victor over his teammate, Cale Nash, who we know from CCA, Clear Creek Amana, and then that's at 149, and then 174, Lucas Henderson, 184, Braxton Wessendorf, and 97, Max Markham, and then they had 3 runner-ups, 157, Preston Klosterman from Albernette, and Riley Dolan at 165 from West Delaware, and then 184 Griffin Lake. So their next competition is the Midwest Classic, which is a huge tournament. We'll definitely find out where Upper Iowa sits there. That's all they're there. So big in Indianapolis. Coe beat BV 47-5. Cornell beat, was at the MSOE Invitational, And they were eighth out of 16 teams. The highest finisher was third at 133, Truman Folkers. Loras wrestled University of Eau Claire, beat them 29-9. And they also beat number six, Whitewater, 22-15. Nice win there for Lowell.
That's a good win.
But they did. Yeah. And then they wrestled number one, Augsburg, and lost 26-11. So not a bad showing there against number one. Loras is coming up. They're moving. UD beat UW Parkside 24-15. And Luther lost to Warburg 43-3. So next up for all of them, Coe's at the North Central Invitation in Naperville, Illinois on Saturday. Cornell is at Loras Thursday, and then they host the Ram Duels, where they have Luther Central and Wisconsin Stevens Point. And then UD wrestles at Nebraska on Friday, and Nebraska Wesleyan, and then Saturday at the Prairie. And Luther is at the Cornell Duels, like I mentioned. So anyway, that's the D2 and D3 wrap up there.
All right. Any final thoughts or items to touch on before we close out the college section of this week's podcast?
I think we're good.
All right. I just want to let people know that do have a feature on Dean Peterson, Iowa's 125-pound starter who transferred from Rutgers. Talked to him yesterday at the Iowa media availability. He had some interesting things to say, from his performance so far this season to kind of being that next 125-pounder that Iowa's had a run of really good 25-pounders over a very long span, and also asked him the difference between New Jersey and Iowa City. Kind of interesting how he mentioned that Iowa Nice really is a thing compared to his home state, and he's still looking for a good slice of pizza here in Eastern Iowa compared to what he's used to in out east. So make sure to watch for that on thegazette.com and all our content this week involving college wrestling. So for this week, on behalf of Dick Briggs and myself, we'd like to thank you for watching. And as always, Coach Briggs, take us out.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
Mornings are made easier with the Gazette's newsletters. Get daily headlines, sports updates, public safety alerts, or deep dives from our reporters, all free. Sign up at thegazette.com/newsletters.